As you all know, for more than 20 years following the collapse of the Soviet Union, the United States has sought to build a constructive relationship with Russia and to support that country's greater integration into regional and global institutions and the rules-based international order. Our working assumption in doing this was that a more integrated, democratic, secure, and prosperous Russia would be a safer, more predictable, and willing partner for the United States and our allies. By 2014, however, we had no choice but to reevaluate our assumptions following Russia's invasion of sovereign Ukrainian territory, first in Crimea and then in eastern Ukraine, which shattered any remaining illusions about this Kremlin's willingness to abide by international law or live by the rules of the institutions that Russia joined at the end of the Cold War. Our approach to Russia today, first, strengthen deterrence. To counter the threat posed by Russian aggression and deter any military moves against NATO territory, over the past 2 years, the United States and our NATO allies have maintained a persistent rotational military presence on land, sea, and air all along NATO's eastern edge, the Baltic states, Poland, Romania, Bulgaria. As we look towards the NATO summit in Warsaw this coming July, allies will institutionalize a more sustained approach to deterrence, including by enhancing forward presence in the East to reduce response times to any aggression. To support this commitment, the President has requested $3.4 billion to fund the European Reassurance Initiative. With your support, these funds will be used to deploy an additional rotational armored brigade combat team to Central and Eastern Europe, and for pre-positioning of combat equipment, as well as additional trainers and exercises in Europe. Dr. Carpenter will talk about this in detail. To press Moscow to bring an end to the violence in Ukraine and fully implement its commitments under the Minsk agreements, we've worked with the EU, the G7, and other like-minded nations to impose successive rounds of tough economic sanctions on Russia over the past 2 years. And we're now working intensively with Europe to ensure that EU sanctions are rolled over at the end of this month, and to support France and Germany in their lead diplomatic role to push for the full implementation of the Minsk agreements, including the withdrawal of all Russian forces from Ukraine and the return of Ukraine's sovereign border. Next, resilience of partners. Even as we defend NATO territory, we're also working to reduce the vulnerabilities and increase the resilience of those countries across Europe that face pressure from Moscow. To help Ukraine, the United States has committed over $600 million in security assistance. We've trained 1,700 Ukrainian conventional forces and National Guard personnel. We've provided counter-artillery and counter-mortar radars, over 3,000 secure radios, and a number of other pieces of equipment to help Ukrainian troops successfully resist further advances and to save lives. To continue our work across Europe and Eurasia to strengthen democratic institutions, reform economies, fight corruption, and build the resilience of our partners, we have requested $787 million in FY17, focusing on our priorities on those countries that are most vulnerable to Russian pressure. Our programs and advisors focus on improving governance, squeezing out graft and fraud, strengthening justice systems, improving election standards, hardening border security and homeland defenses, and building energy independence to make countries more resilient and stronger in the face of pressure. We're also deepening intelligence cooperation across Europe and Eurasia to detect and blunt Russia's covert and overt efforts to manipulate the internal politics of European countries.